Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus begin to give his disciples some instructions because they were being sent out on a mission. Jesus knew that it was going to be difficult for them, and so he gave them some warnings in advance. He told them that there was going to be some persecution and that people would hate them, because after all, they hated Jesus. How much more might they hate his disciples? He warned them that they might be dragged into courts and that they might be flogged. He warned them that they were going to run into dissension even within families. But he also gave them some encouragement. He told them, "Do not fear, for I am going to be with you." And he reminds them that even the very hairs of their head are numbered. He reminds them that God knows when even the smallest bird, a sparrow, for example, dies. And he reminds them that they, as his disciples, are very much more important than such a small little bird, even many such little birds. And he reminds them that when they acknowledge him before other people, he, Jesus, will acknowledge them before God. Today's text continues in that introduction to them and the instructions that he was giving them. But today we find some words that are a little bit difficult to understand, and so I think it's important that we take a look at them carefully. The opening verse of the gospel today is this: "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Wait a minute. What's all this peace on earth stuff that we hear at Christmas? All this goodwill toward men? What about Jesus going to his disciples saying, "Peace be with you"? When you get to a house, say, "Peace to this house." What is this all about? How can a weapon, a sword, how can a weapon of war help his cause of peace and loving your neighbor as yourself? Jesus is saying, "I'm not here to bring prosperity to this world or quietness or rest. Rather, I'm here to bring a sword." And swords divide things. They separate things. By implication, that word that is translated sword also means controversy or war or judicial punishment. And that's what God is here, or what Jesus is here to bring. Rather, he says, "I bring a sword." We have to be careful how we see that word sword. Let's talk first about what he is not saying. Jesus is not saying that he's declaring war on anyone. He is not saying that we should declare war on anyone. And he's not really talking about spiritual warfare. That word sword is used as a metaphor, an image, or a representation of the inevitable separation between those who believe and those who don't believe. And that separation may well bring controversy within families. You may know such a family that is divided into believers and unbelievers. While it's true families should not be divided that way, they are. You may know a family who is divided by beavers and ducks, and that's okay, but being divided as believers and unbelievers, that's the division that Jesus is speaking about. And then Jesus goes on to say that a person's enemies, that is, their adversaries or their foes, will be those from his own household. You'll remember that even Jesus' family didn't believe in him. They thought he was a little bit strange, and they kind of tended to ignore him. His brother James, the author of that book in the New Testament, did not believe in Jesus until after the resurrection. And then Jesus goes on with some more challenging words. These are not so difficult to understand. but they're difficult to accept. Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is talking to his disciples today. He's asking them for unqualified allegiance. Today he asks us for that same allegiance. He said to the disciples, and he is saying to us, that loving God must take precedence over even family relationships. He's asking the disciples and us for absolute allegiance to him. He's looking for disciples today who will place God first in their life. Jesus is looking for disciples today who choose God even before family. And he is speaking to us. That's a pretty challenging expectation. Are you up to that challenge? Can you place God above everything else in your life, even above your family? The simple answer that I thought when I asked myself that question was definitely a qualified sometimes, but then only on a very good day. You see, following Jesus compared to the rest of the world is a very, very radical concept that human nature just abhors. We want to follow our own selfishness, our own human ideas. We want to place our family before anything else. You will certainly admit that following someone that you cannot see or touch or feel is just not how the world would have us live. Following Jesus, that means that we must give up our wants and our desires and even what we demand in this life. Following Jesus means that we have to embrace God's will, no matter how or how much it may cost us. And yet Jesus wants us to strive for that eternal life that he promises, that he has earned in our place. And we end up failing because we don't put Christ first in our lives. Too many times we would rather follow our own desires and our own earthly pleasures. I'm reminded of a story that I came across. It's a prayer that someone prayed. It goes like this. Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a minute, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to need a lot of help from there on. Luther reminds us that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or follow him. We fail every day. When I was a brand new shiny lieutenant in the Navy, I got some advice from a supposedly wise old commander who was telling me how I should act and what I should do in the Navy to survive, to do well, to get promoted and get ahead. He used these words, or words similar to them. He said, when a new commanding officer takes over, you align yourself with him, with his goals and his aspirations. And that way, everything that you do will be supporting him and his desires, and he will think well of you. I still remember him using his hands in that aligning yourself. Well, that may work in the Navy. It may work in the world. But I don't think that works very good if you have a relationship with God. The problem with that philosophy is that there's a new commanding officer every year, and every year then you are changing your alignment with somebody else. And that means you change your loyalties and you change your ideals and lots of other things that may be difficult for you to do. God asks us to align ourselves with Him and remain loyal even during the controversies of this life. Even among the strife that we see from day to day, especially in families. We can't do that. We aren't able to succeed in that every day. But where we fail, Jesus has come to our rescue, and He has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus took up His cross. He paid the penalty for our sins so that in our failings we are not lost. Today, Jesus is looking for a few good disciples. He's looking for us to align ourselves not with just some person, but with the Creator of the universe. And Jesus says there are great rewards to doing so. As Jesus' disciples, we bear His message. And there is a reward for those who carry that message to others. And there's a reward for those who accept that message that we bear to them. To those who do so, there is a great gift of peace with God. There is patience in tribulation. There is confidence to pray, knowing that our prayers will be answered. And most importantly, there is that gift of eternal life. Let me close with a poem that I came across this week that summarizes what we say today. The Lord Christ wanted a tongue one day to speak a message of cheer to a heart that was weary and worn and sad and weighed down with a mighty fear. He asked me for mine, but I was quite busy with my own affairs from morning until night. The Lord Christ wanted a hand one day to do a loving deed. He wanted 2 feet on an errand for Him to run with gladsome speed. But I had need of my own that day. To His gentle beseeching, I answered nay. So all that day I used my tongue, my hands and my feet as I chose. I said some nasty, bitter words that hurt one heart, God knows. I busied my hands with worthless play, and my willful feet went a crooked way. And the dear Lord Christ, was His work undone for the lack of a willing heart? Only through men does He speak to men. Dumb He must be apart. I do not know, but I wish today I had to let the Lord Christ have His way. Today, Jesus asks us for the use of our hands and our voice and our feet to do His work. Let Him have His way. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.